that God would use me. I don't want to make a name for myself. Amen. The message that I feel impressed to preach, I had questions about. Not the substance of it by any means, but whether this is what the Lord really had for me to preach at this conference. It wasn't until about 30 minutes ago it was validated. I told Brother Gordon, this is a tough spot. But he put me in this spot exactly in accordance with the Lord's will, and it makes perfect sense to me now. Open your Bibles to Lamentation chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me thank the Home Baptist Church from the depth of my heart for the invitation, for the room that you've provided at your expense for me and my family, for the food and the work that's went into preparing the fellowship hall, for us to sit down with little effort on our part other than consuming the food and enjoying just a wonderful time of fellowship, spiritual refreshment, and also for the kindness that you folks have extended to me and my family down through the years. The Sunnyview Baptist Church sends their greetings as well. I thank the Lord for that small flock. They've got a heart as big as the state of Michigan and have helped out numerous families and churches down through the years, some of which are here today, and I thank the Lord for that. He's provided for us greatly, and I pray that He'll just continue to make needs known to us that we can be involved in, so we can empty our vessel, position ourselves for Him to fill it. Also, let me say briefly my deep thanks to your pastor, Brother Dan. He's been a help to me in a number of ways, and before Gardner went home to be with the Lord, if I had difficulties, I don't know it all. I know some, my wife probably finds that shocking that I would stand here and say that. But the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I find out just how little I know. And it's such a blessing to be able to pick up the telephone and call men who I respect and to get sound, godly wisdom. Brother Asbury's been a friend from the get-go. And I thank the Lord for, I thank the Lord I'm his friend. I don't know if he, I don't know about, or I thank the Lord he's my friend. I'm not so sure about me with him. But he's been a wonderful friend to me. And Brother Dan, you have too. And I thank the Lord for you and appreciate your guidance and confidence in asking me to come and preach. As Brother Randy said, this is a great responsibility. It's a high honor. And I want to be careful that every word that I speak today, which I will give an account for one day, will be to the glory and honor of God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us examples that when the saints go home to glory, Christ stands. Stephen, when he was being stoned in Acts chapter 7, lifted up his eyes and saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing, though the Bible tells us that he sits at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that, as has been mentioned here, the Lord Jesus Christ stands as he receives his own to himself. I believe when he meets with us as his people, we ought to stand as well. Beloved, I don't ever want you to think that I'm trying to be holier than thou. I'm not. I have a lot of room for improvement in my own life. But I'd ask you if you would to stand as we open the Word of God and read out of Lamentations chapter 1, verse number 12. The title for the message this afternoon is Dehydrated or Disinterested. Dehydrated or disinterested. It'll make sense in just a moment, I pray. Lamentations chapter 1, verse number 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he hath sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath crushed an assembly against me to crush, or he hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as a winepress. For these things I weep. I want to stop our public reading right there. We'll go just a bit further in just a moment. Dehydrated or disinterested? Beloved, I want to be here and be a blessing to each one of the people. But we're living in tough times. And I think in a great regard, God's people are just unaware of it. It's not a time to laugh. It's not a time to leap and rejoice yet. That time's coming. But if we really sense the need of this hour, it would drive God's people to their knees weeping. It's happened all through the Scriptures. And I pray that God would awaken us to the need of this hour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Thou who inhabitest eternity, Thou who that from everlasting to everlasting art God, help us, I pray, as we stand this afternoon. I pray that Thou would speak to us. Father, use me this afternoon as a voice piece. Help me to be an encouragement to Thy people. God, give us listening ears. I know the flesh desires to take it easy and we've been fed physically. But I pray that Thou would strengthen us. Father, stir our hearts. Hide me behind the cross. May Jesus Christ be seen. Be a blessing to these Thy people. Father, I pray this afternoon for Brother Gordon that Thou wouldst be with him in a special way. Father, if it please Thee, raise him up. Our times are in Thy hands. Our health, our strength, all that we are comes from Thee. Oh God, work in a mighty way on his behalf. And bless this church. Bless her efforts. Bless her pastor. Father, other churches that are represented here, bless each and every one, some facing struggles. Oh God, help us to be faithful until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to catch us up to meet Him in the air. Until then, may the glory and the honor and the praise be Thine. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Beloved, my soul is burdened by our present state as the people of God. Our churches are without pastors and the flocks seem to be content. I know of a church that has been without a pastor for 5 years. Beloved, I know of, or I've been told of 42 churches of like faith that as I stand and preach this afternoon are without an under-shepherd. What a terrible, critical state to be in. And yet it seems as if, in a great way, the people are not weeping. The people are not seeking the face of God as they ought to, that God would provide for their needs. Abled men who have expressed the call to the ministry seem to be stepping aside without being forced out of the pulpit with little to no remorse. Divorce stats are soaring, and beloved, I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about within the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're facing these types of battles. Humanism is slowly working its way into the assembly. The service of God's people is so lax. Listen, it's that way in Clarksville, Tennessee. I'm not here preaching anything that Sunnyview Baptist Church is exonerated from. The service of God's people, and I believe what Brother Randy said, we must come to the place that we love God if we're going to serve Him. But that love has waned. That love has waxed cold. Where is the weeping of God's people? No zeal. No separation. I want to preach a message on a subject I've never heard addressed from the pulpit in my lifetime. I don't know that I've ever read any material that's been penned regarding this subject. I want to focus primarily on the needful cause of it rather than the act itself. Let me say in preparation that when done genuinely, fellow pastors, preachers of the gospel. It will raise the urgency and effectiveness of our preaching. Fellow saints of God, it will promote more fervent service in your life to the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. It has resulted in servants, states, and nations soberly addressing sin and once more being blessed of Almighty God. Jeremiah speaks of the miserable estate of Jerusalem. Beloved, the reason why Jerusalem was in the state that she was in is because of sin. We live in a land today. I love the United States of America. 20 years of my life I have given to the defense of this country and the freedoms that she enjoys. But our country is far, far away from God. And God's people don't weep. I fear that we live at a time when God's people have been desensitized towards sin. You know, the public cried out when gas got to $2.70 a gallon. Down at Fort Campbell, they put military police at the pumps because people were getting in fights. 3 years ago, when gas got to $2.70, we thought that that was just, that was a crime, that OPEC would put pressure on the volume of oil coming out of the Middle East, causing the price of gas to raise along with the speculators. But look how far we've come. Now if gas was $2.70 a gallon, we'd rejoice. They've desensitized us to the price of gasoline. Beloved, the same thing has happened regarding sin in the lives of God's people. We've allowed a little bit here. The hems of ladies went from the ankle and they went up to the mid-thigh section, and we cried out, "Oh, that's sinful." And so they lowered it down to the knee, and we said, "Ah, we can live with that." We're far too tolerant of sin in our camp. The FDA years ago coined a phrase, milk. It does the body good. Long before that, Scripture confirmed this. Weeping. It does the soul good. Beloved, I'm not just talking about us getting off in a closet somewhere or just weeping to weep. But weeping is a result of godly sorrow. Weeping comes as a result of us finding ourselves at the end of our rope and realizing our dependence, our total dependence upon God. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. He finds himself in this condition. He says in verse 16, "For these things I weep." For what things, Jeremiah? By inspiration of the Spirit of God, he tells us four things that have caused him to weep. And I believe that it will cause us to weep as well if we're pleased to be able by the Spirit of God to see our true condition. Society insists that real men don't shed any tears, when in fact it is the man that is mature. It is the man that is deeply concerned about his faith, his family, his future. It is the man that is strongest internally that is often seen weeping externally. Jeremiah is coined as the weeping prophet. Weeping, unlike crying, has one consistent interpretation in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word is translated baka. It's the only way that you'll find this word weeping translated in the Bible. Baka means generally to bemoan, to bewail, to make lamentation, to become sore with tears, to mourn. In the New Testament, this same word weeping is translated one way, klaio. It means to sob. It means to wail aloud, whereas crying is often silent. It means to bewail. In other words, weeping is an external evidence of great internal concern, burden, and or sorrow. A careful perusal of Holy Writ will bear out the fact that weeping precedes laughter regarding eternal things, and that laughter precedes weeping regarding earthly things. Let me say that again. Weeping precedes laughter regarding eternal things, whereas a perusal of the Scriptures show us that laughter precedes weeping regarding earthly things. I'll show that to you if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Beloved, I realize the life of a Christian should be a life that's a joyful life. It's a life that's a rewarding life here upon this earth. But listen, we don't need to fool ourselves into believing that everything's okay. It's not. Luke chapter 6, verse number 20. Jesus is speaking to his disciples after the multitudes have been healed. Verse number 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." Notice this. "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Drop down to verse number 24. There's some woes. "Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger." Notice this. "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." Solomon stated this fact in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Let me say something, beloved. God never places anything in the Bible out of order. There's a reason why every word is placed the way it's placed in the King James Bible. You go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, and you'll find there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. Weeping precedes laughter so far as a child of God's concerned. Anybody here agree with me that Job was a man? Job was a man's man. I can't fathom what Job went through with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Losing his family, losing all his possessions, even having his wife turn to him and say, "Why don't you curse God and die?" You'll find in Job chapter 2 that Job's three friends made an appointment together. They gathered themselves together in concert to go to Job to be an encouragement to him. And when they came to within the distance that they could look up and see Job, the Bible says in Job chapter 2, they knew him not. In other words, they didn't even recognize him. I went to see Brother Jones in the hospital, Tammy and I. Been there on a number of occasions, but just before the Lord took him home, probably a week before the Lord took him home, body swollen. I walked in the room. I walked down the hall and I asked the lady that was there. I said, "Ma'am, can you tell me where Roger Jones is?" And she said, "It's the room." And she gave me the number. We walked in the room, and beloved, had I not known it, I would have never recognized that faithful servant of God by his visage, so swollen. You look in Job chapter 2. And when Job's friends come to him and look to him and don't even recognize who he is, the Bible says they wept. For 7 days and 7 nights, they sat down with their brother and they did not even say a word. They just wept. Job chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. Job weeps. The Bible tells us that Hezekiah wept sore. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 3. "Set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live." And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah wept sore. Jesus, was he a man? I dare say one of the greatest men that ever lived, a God-man. John 11:35, such a profound verse in the Word of God. Jesus wept. Joseph wept, Genesis 45 through 50. In those chapters, you know how Joseph was sold by his own brothers, cast into prison, forgotten about for 2 years, tried to be seduced by Pharaoh's wife, tried as much as he could to live his life towards God. You know, there's not a single blemish that's recorded in the Word of God regarding the young man Joseph. His brothers come to him when God has exalted him to a high place. And he wept bitterly upon their neck. Joseph wasn't too mature to weep. Moses wept, the Bible tells us, but he was a babe. Jacob was an aged man, Genesis 37, verse 35, and he wept. Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Bible tells us that John wept in Revelation chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, as he was caught up into heaven. And he observed that there was not one to open the book. John wept. The Bible tells us that Elisha, the man of God, wept in 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Ben-Hadad was sick unto death. If you read that portion of the Word of God, Hazael came running to Elisha to ask, "Will the king live?" And the man of God said, "He'll die." And Elisha began to weep. And the question was asked, "Why weepest thou?" And he said, "Because I can see already that you're going to tear up the people of God." Mary Magdalene wept, John chapter 20, verse 11. Hannah wept, the Bible tells us. She was desirous of a child, 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 10. Rachel wept, Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Beloved, women aren't exempt. God's people are recorded within the Word of God as being burdened to the point that they weep. What's wrong with us today? Listen, we mourn when celebrities die. Whitney Houston, 48 years of age, died. We have different words for that. She didn't go away. She didn't slip off. She died. 48 years of age. And the whole world just about stops and mourns the passing of Whitney Houston. We mourn when our pets die. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, beloved. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I've got a boxer. It's probably the best dog that I've ever had. And I'm sure when her time comes to die, I'll mourn the passing of that dog. We become attached to our pets. We mourn when the fuel prices rise. We mourn when we feel neglected by others. But where's the mourning over the coldness in the Lord's church? Where's the lamenting over the lack of felt power in the pulpits? Could it not be possible that there's not any in the pew because there's not any in the pulpits? Where's the wailing over lost souls in our families and our communities? Where's the sobbing over the moral and spiritual crisis in our nation? And yet we as God's people, we button up our shirts and we fix our britches and go out into the world as if nothing's wrong. In some regard, our children are lost and on their way to hell. And we've never shed a tear over it. What's wrong? Satan is coming and destroying the work of the Lord, or trying his best to. We've got fellow churches that are struggling. And I know, beloved, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. But I also know that the arch enemy of Almighty God is Satan. And if he can tear up the work of the Lord, and he'll do it by starting right here if he can. We don't weep. We don't weep over calamities we're facing for violating God's word. Multitudes today prefer partying and festivity over reality. Beloved, it's been this way through history. This is nothing new. Listen, we don't want to deal with our problems as humanity, and so some turn to alcohol. Just lightens the load for a little while, but it's there when they sober up. Some go out and they'll gamble and they'll waste their substance, but when they're finished and their pockets are empty, the problems still exist. Some desire to go to dances and parties and festivities, thinking that they'll forget about the here and now and everything will just somehow get better. No, it won't. I beg to differ with you. This is no time for the saints of Almighty God to be involved in festivities, beloved. Oh, I pray that God would burden our hearts as His people. Listen, I want to enjoy life. But we're put here for a reason. Brother Randy preached about that. I thank the Lord, and Brother Joe Collins yesterday, about being a witness, worshiping the Lord. I've had that same burden for about 3 months down at Sunnyview. Just truly worshiping God. Amen. Listen, you know what? We come to church, we open the door, we get inside, and we stand at... The military has what they call marching in time. Or mark time. You get to a certain spot and they'll holler out, "Mark time, march." And the soldiers will stand right there. They don't move an inch. You know what we're doing as the Lord's church today? We're doing the same thing. Amen. Satan's hollered out, "Mark time, march." And the church has just stopped right in its tracks. And we are doing absolutely nothing, if very much at all, in the work of the Lord. But I don't see any weeping. I see very little concern. I told you I'm half blind. I can see the circle. I can't see the time. Isaiah chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. Let me turn there real quick. We'll not read that whole portion of Scripture because I might not have time to... I want to get to our text. This is just... We're just warming up. Isaiah chapter 22. Let me just read the first three or four verses, and then we'll drop down to verse number 12 and 13. The burden of the valley of visions. What aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with a sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled for far. Or from far. Therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people, for it is a day of trouble and of treading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains. Now, just keep that thought in mind. That's the condition. Drop down to verse number 12. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And how did the people respond? Verse number 13. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Sounds just like us today, beloved. We're living in perilous times. Listen, the battle that's raging in Afghanistan pales in comparison to the spiritual battle that you and I as God's people are engaged in today. And if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God, I submit to you that you are involved in a battle. The closer I desire to walk to God, the more and more difficulty I face, the more and more opposition. And it's not always external. Sometimes it's right here between these two ears. It's old Satan trying to plant thoughts up in my mind, constantly warring against the flesh. We've been structured to ignore the present and hope for success on tomorrow. Just live and let go is what the world cried out for a number of years. Hasn't gotten any better. What has been the response by God's people? Silence. We've said very little. Unborn children are aborted at a rate of 8 times that of birth. I don't see the weeping, beloved. Sodomites come out of the closet. Now they're coming out the front door. I don't see the weeping. We don't even weep over our present condition. Listen, I want when we come together as God's people, I want to hear from heaven. I want to hear God speak through His Word. I want to see deliverance in the lives of God's people over sins that are binding them. But it comes when God's people get serious with God, as Brother Randy said. Weeping signifies an awareness to a situation that's far beyond our ability to correct and a deep need for help. Deep crieth unto deep, the Bible says. The deep resources and supply from heaven's throne is always more than sufficient for the deep need of a troubled soul. Do you think God is able to do whatever we ask? Do you think God's able to do above what we ask? Do you think perhaps that God's able to do abundantly above what we ask? Beloved, I'm convinced in accordance with the Scriptures, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
That's a number of layers above our finite mind's ability to comprehend. Oftentimes we have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss. What was it that prompted the prophet Jeremiah to weep? I want you to go back to Lamentations chapter 1 now, if you've turned. Four things stood out in the life of Jeremiah. And beloved, as I was studying the Word of God and prayerfully considering this portion of the Word of God, it's things that you and I face today. Listen, if there's ever a time for God's people to begin to weep for deliverance, it's today. What was it that caused our brother to weep? Verse number 16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water because, number one, the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Samson woke up one day and had his hair cut off, and he wist not that the Spirit of God departed from him. I dare say that we've got pastors that stand behind the pulpit and they wist not that the Spirit of God has departed.
Amen.
We've got members that come into the Lord's church and they don't feel the power of God in their lives. Why? Beloved, in this day and age, the Spirit of God would come and He would remove from the individual. We live in a day of grace today. We that are saved are saved by the Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So the Spirit of God dwells, indwells the believer. So in some regard, He never really leaves us. But we can quench the Spirit of God. We can grieve the Spirit of God. I had one of our members at Sunnyview Baptist Church ask me, she said, Pastor, I don't think it's possible for a child of God to grieve the Spirit of God. I said, ma'am, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and you read verse 30 and 31 and 32 and you'll find that it can happen, and I fear it often does. We grieve the Spirit of God. Jeremiah found himself isolated, number one. He was facing isolation. He says, the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Somebody was preaching and said, if they're in pain, give them pain medicine. What would life be like if we had to endure pain with no relief? Beloved, as God's children, we ought to stay close to the Lord, so close that when we need to have that relief from God, He's there to grant it to us. Listen, God doesn't change. We get ourselves far off from Him. Jeremiah was facing isolation. He was without comfort. He was without strength. And it caused him to weep. Number two, he was facing desolation. He says in verse 16, the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Number two, my children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Listen, dearly beloved, we're living in a day and age where our enemy, our adversary, the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour, is striving to destroy our children. I have never in my lifetime envisioned the things that our youth is involved in today. I would have never imagined it. I would have never imagined that our government would be teaching kindergartners and first graders on the birds and the bees. Nor passing out the things that they're passing out to prevent pregnancy to first graders. Are you serious? And where's the weep? Do we care about our youth? Daddies go off to work. Mommies go off to work. And the children are left at home with a one-eyed monster and the computer and the internet. I don't see the weeping. Satan is destroying our families. God help us. The comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Thirdly, he was facing desperation. It says in verse 17, Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. Just like an infant child who's opening the hands for mommy, crying out, saying, please help me. And there's nobody. Nobody to comfort Zion. Oh, beloved, that ought to cause us to weep. Psalm chapter 6, quickly. Psalm chapter 6. Listen to what the psalmist writes. You sense the depth of his need. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. For my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. I think about what the psalmist penned in Psalm chapter 113. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? Not a one. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Desperation? Sounds like it to me. Sounds like the psalmist had already come to the end of his rope. He was in the deepest trench that he could be in, and all he could do was cry out to God for deliverance. And it brought tears to his cheeks. His bed was filled with water. Oh, he didn't have a water bed. But all through the night he was weeping. Tears. Even his couch, the Bible says, was filled with tears. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. When is the last time that you wept? Not because a doggy died, and not because the car wouldn't start and you had to get to work. But beloved, when was the last time you wept because of the depth of a felt need spiritually?
That's right.
And we expect God to work in our lives. I think we think that we've got a puppet God. You know, when we need him, we pull the hand. When we want this to happen, and when we want this blessing, we pull this over here, and things are just going to fall down out of heaven. Oh, beloved.
Amen.
We are starving.
Amen.
As a people. Because we just think everything's going to get better. Oh, it will one day when Christ comes back, but you know what? You laugh now, you'll weep then. I thank God he'll wipe the tears away from our eyes, because I promise you this, if God wouldn't do it, I believe we'd weep for all eternity. The world's having fun now. They're having a great time. But the Bible tells us the place they're going to, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Laugh now, weep later. Weep now, rejoice later. Fourthly, Jeremiah wept. He faced isolation, desolation, desperation, and opposition. Verse number 17. In the middle of the verse, the Bible says, "The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversaries should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a minstrel woman among them." Beloved, I'm so thankful that God controls everything. Even our adversaries are controlled by God. But we're facing opposition. And it's going to get worse. I wish I could, and I hope that the Spirit of God would encourage us today. But I'm really not looking for it to get any better. I just pray that God will enable me to be faithful despite whatever comes. That God would be my strength. That God would be my hope. That God would be my bulwark. Because it's going to get worse. Mark it down. Because the Bible's told us it will get worse. We're going to face some opposition. We live in a land, thank God, that we haven't faced much opposition as the people of God. And we've gotten a little spoiled because of it. We've gotten a little lackadaisical. You know, things go by and we think, well, yeah, that law's been passed. That's no big deal. We'll let that one go. You sit out on that one, they pass another law. And it's all right. I don't ever want to bring politics into a message. But beloved, our current president has destroyed the fundamental morals of this nation. Amen. And you know what we do as God's people? Nothing. I suspect that we don't even pray for our president as we ought. I'm not fond of him. But God's placed him there. And we're obligated to pray for our president. I pray for the salvation of his soul. I pray that God would give him wisdom. For if God does, we benefit from that. But he's no friend of God's people. In this land and across the sea, Israel as well, he's no friend of God's people. Beloved, we may face opposition even internally. Within the Lord's church, there may be those that rise up against us. We may face opposition within our own families. My heart grieves for families whose children have been raised by mom and dad in a way that pleases and honors God, and then when they leave home, they turn against their parents. Or they live a wicked life in spite of their parents. Right. Jeremiah was facing oppositions. His adversaries were many. Our adversaries are Satan, secularism, and the status quo. It absolutely broke the prophet's heart, and our present condition should be breaking ours. Weeping now is sure to be followed by eternal pleasures that will never end. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, the psalmist said. Oh, may the burden of Jeremiah be ours this day as we labor for the Lord. May genuine love for him and the reality of eternal separation from God for the lost cause us to labor with genuine compassion. I wonder why today men aren't being called into the ministry. The Bible says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." I wonder if God's people aren't praying that God would send laborers into the harvest. I wonder today why we're not seeing people saved. And I agree with, and I don't remember who said it, but the church does not exist for the lost to come into the church. The church exists to take the gospel out to the lost. When they're converted, when they're baptized, they're in the church. It's our responsibility to go. Listen to what the Bible says. He that goeth forth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless... No, wait a second. We missed something, didn't we? Yes, we've missed it, beloved. We've missed it there, and we've missed it in our lives. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Weeping precedes rejoicing. We don't weep over lost souls. I'm not pointing the finger at you, beloved. I don't weep as I ought.
over lost souls. I don't weep as I ought over the condition of Sunnyview Baptist Church. I thank the Lord for the church. I thank the Lord for their zeal. I thank the Lord for their heart. But we can be doing so much more for Almighty God. I'm not pointing a finger at you. God, help us to be burdened by the Spirit of God. Oh, may God stir our hearts to the point that we weep, that we just cry out to God with sobbings. The Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever been to the place where your heart's just so heavy that you can't utter a word? You're just so tore up, you're so brokenhearted, that all you can do is sob. God takes those sobs, and the Spirit of God makes them into a language that Christ can take and present to the Father. And you know what's beautiful? Every prayer that Christ ever prayed was answered. Christ never prayed a prayer that God did not answer, because He always prays in accordance with the Father. And so He takes our deep needs, and He makes that into a language that's acceptable to the Father when he senses the deep need of a saint. And He meets our needs, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I wonder today, what's wrong with us as God's people? Are we dehydrated? Like the psalmist, have we just poured out our heart to God so much that you just don't have tears to weep anymore? You ever had a loved one lost? Or a loved one that's died? And you weep, and you weep, and you weep, and your heart's just so broken because of the passing of that loved one. And you get to the point that you just can't weep anymore. You're still hurting inside, but the tears just don't flow. What's the problem today with we as God's people? Are we dehydrated, or are we disinterested? There's a fix for dehydration. It's the water of the Word. There's a fix for disinterest in the work of the Lord as well. And that takes the work of the Spirit of God stirring our hearts to service once again. Oh, may God break our hearts. I pray and humble us to see our deep need of God in our life. Thank you.